It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 17th of October, 2015. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. The show's brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneiroa. On Saturday, the 17th of October, Brent Simpson talked to Michelle Barber, coordinator of the Jazzy Dean Garden Safari. He talked with Lisa Garrity, who's the new manager of the Artworks Theatre, and he caught up with Jamie Stone from Play It Strange, talking about the Jam Bus, which will soon be coming to Waiheke schools.
I'm going to crack on with our first guest today, Michelle Barber, who is the coordinator for the Waiheke Island Garden Safari. Good morning, Michelle. Is that working?
Good morning, Waiheke.
Can you talk right into that, baby?
I sure can.
Let's try something else. No, try that.
Okay.
There we go.
That's much better.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Need a coffee, but that's all right.
Yeah, it's true. I kind of do too, actually. So, Garden Safari. It seems like the safari swells every year. And there's lots of different events now that sort of, I don't know, people may or may not know that it's not just about gardens anymore, really, is it? What have we got going on this year?
Well, the focus is still gardens, really. And, you know, this year is our 15th year anniversary of the safari. It started in 2001. Which is cool because it's just grown and grown and grown since, you know, the first year when we raised $1,000 and had 10 gardens, and Chris Palmer and Greg Dean and the Jazzy Dean Trust kind of created this event.
Yeah. Is that really what it raised? The first year was
$1,000. Yeah. And then the next year, I think it was like $3,000, you know, and it just kind of went on. But the what they raised never kind of exceeded the need on Waiheke. So, you know, as the need has grown on the island, the money they have raised has increased as well. So it's kind of been a good and equal, you know, some equilibrium there, which is good. So, and we're definitely finding that the need is getting greater.
Yeah.
So we're raising more money.
Yes, so this year, so you've got, so what's the dates for the Garden Safari this year?
November 7th and 8th.
Mm-hmm. And how many gardens?
13 gardens, and we have 7 new ones this year, and some really interesting and quite different gardens. So 7 and 8 of November, and it's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., except we have this kind of add-on event that we started last year, which is called the Sundowner. And the Sundowner is, this year it's 2 gardens on the same kind of big property. And this garden doesn't open until 4 p.m. And you can come in with your Garden Safari ticket. Mm-hmm. And
only you determine how to see the...
Sorry about that.
That's okay. And so 4 p.m., the Sundowner starts. You can have some drinks and have some food. We have the South American Oven there to provide some dinner for you. There's wine and beer. There's soft drinks for kids. We have the Waiheke Jazz, high school jazz band, the Hep Cats, and they're playing as well. And if you don't have a safari ticket, that's okay. You can just pay $10 at the gate.
Oh, nice.
And come in for the evening. And it's fun. It's quite fun with the kids. I brought my kids last year.
Yep.
And they had a good time kind of running around the garden.
Yep.
And with this one, you see 2 gardens for that.
Yep.
You can also see this garden if you have a safari ticket the next day from 10 to 4.
It's funny they have actually your kids are actually my kids as well.
Isn't that funny?
Is that even possible on the radio? you know, there was a good event. There was a kind of a real family feel, and it was a lovely house, and there was some good food and drinks, and it was just a nice way to kind of spend a Saturday afternoon, really.
Yeah, an evening.
And so this year, that house is sort of out past Whakanifa, right?
It is.
It's one of those houses out there on the map. So if you're looking on the map. And the schedule has come out this past week in the marketplace.
Yep.
And how many people do you sort of expect you might get on the island for the safari?
Well, I mean, we usually have about 1,200 people over the weekend.
Yep.
I'm expecting a few more this year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many.
Yeah.
But I think that with the growing kind of popularity of Waiheke, that we're actually going to get a few more.
Yeah.
So which is great.
You think people are going to be helicoptering in for the safari? Can you helicopter around to different houses? You probably
can. Sure,
can't,
you can. Though.
People
no
would
problem.
Complain.
Anything's possible.
People would seriously complain.
No, no helicoptering in.
Is there a limit to how many helicopters can attend the safari?
I've limited it at one.
Yep. So what else we got? So we got the we got the garden safari itself.
Yep.
We've got the Sundowner Garden that you call it. It's on Saturday, and then
Saturday,
on Friday
to sunset, and it looks out to the sunset.
Right.
So
nice.
And when the sun goes down,
you will
the
be,
party is over.
You'll be
well,
ours,
but
yeah.
So, but you can come back the next day from 10 to 4.
And then you've also got this another event that you developed a few years back, which is part of the whole thing. That's the Waiheke Art in the Garden.
Waiheke Art in the Garden, that's right. And that's on Friday, November 6th. And that's a $65 ticket. You can purchase those tickets at Eclectic Boutique and Paper Plus Waiheke.
Mm-hmm.
Also online on iTicket. But that gives you a really nice little preview to Garden Safari. And that offers five gardens mm-hmm. that you can preview mm. between 3 and 5 p.m. on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 5:30, you end up, your last stop is Pye Melon Bay, Rorihara,
mm-hmm.
which is Mr. Bruce Plested's place.
Mm-hmm.
And we do an art auction out there. This year we have a few little different things going on. We have Eclectic Boutique on the fashion runway. They're going to do just their summer fashion line, and that will be pretty interesting. The $65 ticket gets you a drink on arrival.
Mm-hmm.
We have Nico from Urban Escargot providing the catering, and then Oyster Inn have donated heaps and heaps of oysters, and they'll have their Oyster Inn van out there serving oysters from the back. And we have FPOS available to buy some more drinks mm. and lots of great Waiheke art on display and up for auction.
Yeah, and it's a stunning, that's also another stunning house. If you've never sort of been out to Rorihara, sort of wondered what it is down that long driveway, this is an opportunity to get in and see something kind of quite special, eh?
It's quite spectacular. It really is. Yeah.
And so you got some big name artists, some local artists with pieces. Who you got this year?
We do. We have Dennis O'Connor has two pieces in the auction.
Mm-hmm.
We have Anton Ford, one of his sculptures for the auction. Stuart Jobling, who also has a garden in Safari, and he'll have his studio open all weekend.
Oh, nice. He's got a lovely little garden.
Yeah, he does.
He's got eels, if you like.
He does have eels. And a lot of artists. Barbara Robinson, who's been on the island for about 3 years. She came up from Christchurch after the earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's multitude of artists that, you know, Lois Simpson will be there, and Olivier Duhamel.
Mm-hmm. So some well-established and new and up-and-coming
people. Yeah, definitely. Some people who've been in the auction before,
yeah,
and then a few newcomers.
Yeah. How many pieces are actually auctioned off on the...
Well, at the moment, I have 23 pieces to be auctioned off,
right,
which is pretty great. And we also have raffles and some spot prizes available for people.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
it's a fun evening. It really is.
Yeah, it is. I've been a couple of times now. Probably every time, actually, come to think of it. And I always have a fun time.
Well, that's good.
But I tend to have fun times wherever I go.
You have fun wherever you go,
that's
Brian.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we got let's just run these things down. We got the Art in the Garden art auction that's on Friday at Rorihara. You pick up tickets for that at Eclectic Boutique or at Paper Plus. They keep changing their name, their
Plus,
paper something.
Paper Plus. Yep.
Posty Plus, Paper Plus, I don't know what
Paper Plus.
Whitcools, could be anything. So you can buy tickets there. You can also get them online. Now, if people are interested in buying online and finding out a little bit more about what up to date, what's going on, what's the best place for them to go?
Well, they can visit our website, which is WaihikiGardenSafari.co.nz, or go to our Facebook page. It's all there. It's all up to date.
Mm.
I update it regularly, several times a day. And there's a lot. All the information is there.
And you can get to the iTicket, presumably, through the Facebook page as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
we,
so
a few other things that we have going on over the weekend, which is our annual massive plant sale.
Oh, yeah, the plant sale. I knew there was something we were forgetting.
Yeah, well, there's one other thing that we're forgetting, but we'll get to that. The massive plant sale is Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Rangihau Estate, Olive Estate. Mm-hmm. They host us every year. Great to work with them, always. We have these plants, these growers grow all year long.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, they volunteer their time, they volunteer their effort and their expertise, and they grow thousands and thousands and thousands of plants. And there are three of them that kind of grow these plants all year. We have heaps of volunteers who come in and help them maintain all these plants over the weekend. And, yeah, that's lots of fun, really good bargains to be had.
Yeah.
Yeah, on now, garden plants.
I mean, so I understand, and I've never been there, that people get there, like, really early with wads of cash and just, like, scoop up stuff, eh?
They can use their FPOS cards as well.
But they get, but don't they? It's quite, an, it's it quite a sort a, of a, like, jostling event at the
It does open at 10 a.m., but people do end up coming early, and people do, yeah.
I've got a little bit of a complaint, though, actually.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, well, what, is it Jeff, right? Is it Jeff?
Uh-huh.
Who was one of the main...
Jeff Bullock.
Yeah, I think it's Jeff Bullock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a complaint, actually.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He sold me a plant. I was looking for something that had some kind of fruit on it last year. Mm-hmm. And he sold me this plant called a cherimoya.
Right.
And he said that cherimoya... And some people say that it's like the greatest fruit in the world.
That's what they. That's what
like
I heard.
It's like some kind of custard pineapple cross thing. That's just like unbelievable. So I was really. I was like, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. And we want one of those up the back. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I bought this plant, brought it home, and did some research on it. It turns out that in order to get the fruit, you got to have two of them. And he only sold me one. You know?
Well, maybe.
Can I get a refund?
Well, now that the plant actually looks like it's dead.
Well, it's lonely. It was lonely. It's obviously a
you
plant
might have
that
to
needs,
water that plant.
It
and
needs
perhaps
two.
Perhaps repot it. I don't know, out of the little pot from last year that it came in.
I will say, and I did buy a few other things on the day beside my failed cherimoya plant, but...
And those plants are doing very well.
Yeah, the other ones I bought are doing great. And he was a wealth of knowledge. And,
yeah, he is.
It is quite a... I always find the plant sale to be quite a visual display of the amount of work that some...
These people
that goes into this, yes.
They start a week after safari. They start growing plants from seeds and cuttings all year round. And, I mean, if you go to any of the growers... houses during the year, it's literally thousands of plants all over their properties that they then gather up at safari time in their trucks back and forth and take it to Rangihau for the massive plant sale.
And they tend to sell like most of them, but by the end, there's just slim pickings.
Yeah, it's slim pickings at the end, but they still have, you know, heaps of stuff that's good and will look great in your garden.
Yeah, so that's good.
It's
so
a free event too.
Oh, yeah, so that's... And there's usually other little things going on around Rangihau as well. And also,
well, Nico from Urban Escargot will have his truck there. So you can have lunch there at Rangihau.
Does he actually do escargot?
I think he does. Yeah, he does. I've had him before. They're served in like big snail shells. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does he get them from the gardens of people who have been making plants for safari?
I don't think so.
Okay, so what else we got? I like that event. What else we got?
That's fun. So this is really, really cool. You know, Y Talks. Are you familiar with Y Talks, Brent?
I am familiar with Y Talks because Waiheke Radio usually goes to the Y Talks and records the event and the speeches on the night. So I'm looking forward to this one as well.
Well, this one will be during the day, and it will be in Garden Number 4 of Garden Safari on Sunday from 1 to 4, and that is a permaculture garden. And the topic of discussion for Y Talks this time around is land. So it's kind of a perfect pairing. Y Talks is a fantastic organization, a great group of people that they do these talks kind of out of the kindness of their hearts and put these really popular talks on and have some incredible speakers.
And how do you find out? How do you get tickets for that event?
Those tickets are on sale at Eclectic Boutique, as well as Delight Coffee in Aniroa.
Okay.
And they do have an online way to buy tickets, but you have to go to their Facebook page.
Also their website, Y-Talks, just Google Y-Talks, you'll find it. I think they can buy through their website as well. Y-Talks are great. And I hear the garden is quite, there's an interesting, so it's outside, but it's also in an amphitheater or some kind of...
These, Tana Fishman, who is one of the owners of Garden Number 4, has created a amphitheater on her property. And it's just built. It's just finished like 3 days ago. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's pretty spectacular. And it's carved into the side of their hill.
Nice.
Really unobtrusively as well.
Right.
And made from natural materials. And, you know, it's pretty cool. And it's so they'll have the talk in the amphitheater, and people are able to go around the garden as well, that garden, with their ticket from Y-Talks. Also at this garden, at the permaculture garden, which is garden number 4, Garden to Table, which is...
Oh, the Tehudahi.
Yeah, the Tehudahi Garden to Table organization. Yeah. They will be at garden number 4 all weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's really cool.
So that's a lot of stuff going on in one weekend, eh?
Yeah. I mean, one more thing. Mackenzie Reserve is one of our gardens this year.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And, you know, there's been a lot of regeneration that's happened there, and they really have developed their native forest. Remember years ago, my partner and I, you, went to Mackenzie Reserve, and there were all these pine trees.
Yeah, that's right.
They cut those down years ago.
Yeah.
And they planted a bunch of natives. Well, that's grown up and matured and is looking really good. So Mackenzie Reserve and the Friends of Mackenzie Reserve, who have worked so hard to get this up and running, are in Safari this year, and they have a lot going on that weekend and information about the reserve.
And I mean, even if you were a visitor to the island, or if you hadn't been there, that could also be a place for you to go and, you know, in between, check out the reserve, have a walk down to, ends up in what? Enclosure Bay, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's also right next to the Sacred Blessing Sanctuary.
Is that one of the gardens this year?
Yeah,
that's a cool garden. I went there.
Yeah, that won the People's Choice in 2011.
That's right. If you're looking to just chill out.
Zen out.
I would take my phone and put on some really meditative music and walk down there.
Would you?
Yeah.
Good.
Now, that's quite an amazing garden, that one. It is a Buddhist retreat, right?
Yeah, it is.
And it sort of meanders down a fairly steep plot, but quite a long way down, and it's
amazing art.
Yep,
there's
a Zen sand garden.
Yeah, they've redone everything, so that it's all going to be new.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah.
When these people find the time or whatever it is to do this stuff. Well, that's good. I think thanks for coming in and filling us in on the events of the weekend of November 7th and 8th.
Then you can get tickets. Early bird tickets are available until October 27th, and those are $28.
Cool.
You can purchase those at Paper Plus or Fuller's Matiatia online at iTicket. You can just go to our Facebook page and find some of the information. But they're $35 beginning on October 27th.
Cool. So it's Facebook is Waiheke Garden Safari.
It is.
And then online it's waihekegardensafari.co.nz, All right. Thank you, Michelle. Looking forward to another successful safari, and I wish you all the best. And all the volunteers as well. I should give a shout out to anyone who's volunteers for Safari. Good on you. And
we couldn't do it without them.
Couldn't be done without them yet. So go hard, and we'll see you on the weekend.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll probably see you before that.
You will.
Really. Okay. Thanks, Michelle.
Waiheke Radio.
So now we're going to talk to Lisa Garrity. And now, Lisa, I called you up, or I emailed you, because your face was plastered all over the marketplace last week, in case you didn't notice. You were, yeah. And I guess one of the things, you asked me if I had any questions. I think the one question that I have, come to think of it, was that I have lived on the island for quite a while, 13 years. And every couple of years, there's someone who steps in, up in, or is coaxed or coerced or prodded to be the manager for the Artworks Theatre. And everyone who takes the job says, yeah, we're going to, this place is rubbish, we're going to fix this up, and we're going to, this is going to look good, blah, 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 blah. And then it nothing really seems to have emerged. Now, so you've come in and you've said the same thing, that I'm going to fix up the foyer. And anyone who sort of has, you know, has spent any time in the theatre, and the radio does do things in the theatre, knows that, you know, once you get behind the scenes and stuff, or even in front, it is looking a bit aged, eh? So why? What are you? How's this going to happen?
Well, actually, I'm here to tell you today publicly that I'm resigning. that's just far too difficult. Good point.
Do things get in the way? Is that what happens?
You know, it's a really funny thing. So I've been a consultant for a long time, and I have to be pretty sharp and pretty quick. I go into places, and man, they don't have any tolerance for me not picking up stuff quickly and making stuff happen. They pay me big bucks, go and do it.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, this probably won't be much difference, and hey, I love it, and oh, there's good opportunity, and I got in there, and Dee, who's been there for 17 years, said, well, look, I hate to tell you this, but I'm off for 8 weeks to US. Good luck. Here's a 3-hour handover. And I sort of went, oh, my God. But lucky for me, the border, brilliant, and they've helped me along the way. And Dee, bless his soul, has been responding to all my inane questions.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm not answering the question, but I'm going to get there. I've kind of got in there and gone, yeah, I can do it. And I've sort of lined it up. I do my normal as a project manager and put critical powers in place. And then I've gone, oh, my God.
Yeah.
there is a lot.
Yeah.
And there is a lot. I'm not going to deny it. Mm. I've run two businesses myself and had staff. And, you know, that's pretty full on. This has to be probably one of the more full on things I've had to do. And I have looked back and thought about the theatre managers of past and gone, no bloody wonder. Yeah, that's right. They are the ghosts. I don't blame them. I mean, I walk around sometimes on a clipboard and I go, and I'm going to do that. Oh, God, but that's, oh, my, that, oh, but, the, but, you know, reality is I've just got to do it. And so I'm just doing it one cobweb at a time, one paint chip at a time. I've just got to do it. And my focus is very clear.
Yeah.
And even though I keep getting swayed, I just keep going back to my focus. And I've just got to make it a really neat environment for people to go to and work in. And that's my major thing. If I can get that right.
Yeah.
Then I can bring in the crowds and I can bring in the cool acts from Auckland. So despite the distractions with, you know, council and maintenance and the myriad of stuff, actually my focus is still the same. So it doesn't really matter. And I will get there, and I've just got to just keep chipping away and doing it, and I'm doing it. So
what is your, if you had to articulate your focus, you know, what's the main focus for you coming into this position and this job? And
it depends on what
this.
Day. before the end of this year, I've got a new booking form coming out, which is going to just adjust our terms. The second thing I'm going to do is collating a list of front of house people and volunteers, which we didn't appear to have. The other thing I'm doing is putting a membership program together, which I think is key. So all this is going to be done by the end of the year. Putting in place a working bee, which I've already got organised as well for the end of the year, and so cleaning up the place, and I set up social media stuff, and it's pretty much what I've done. So I'm just starting going out and talking to people and tweeting to people and all sorts of stuff. I'm gathering interest, but I'm doing those tasks like a little soldier every single day.
Yeah. I said you've got a new website, don't you?
Yes, we've got a new website. David, one of our board members, did it for us. But don't get too excited. That's our interim one before our new cool one. But it's workable, and that's what we're having.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was nice, actually.
Yeah.
So, and there was some conversation, or I think on the article, you talked about the foyer as well, the sort of maybe rejigging that, or what kind of structural, I mean, is the place, a lot of people have said in the past, let's just knock that thing down and start again.
Yeah.
And isn't that, at one point I thought that was in the strategic plan for Artworks, although I'm pretty sure that plan is now past its use by date. Is that still a conversation that people have?
It still is. So we're really fortunate. We've got a world-class theatre man. Beware, I don't know the terminology. I'm very clear on that. But he's a man, he knows theatre, and he's a theatre man. he's done some concept drawings for the complete refurbishment within the next probably in 2 years' time. We're meeting with council next week to start talking with structural engineers and people like that. But I'm well aware of the fact that process is going to take a couple of years, particularly getting those drawings through and getting approval and getting funding. Not worried about that. But in the interim, I need to make some really good changes now that are going to take us through to the next 2 years. And that's pretty much what my short-term plan is.
So a lot of these, I suppose a lot of these changes, actually, we're talking to Michelle, we're talking about how, you know, this, and she mentioned at the end how Garden Safari, you know, doesn't survive without sort of passionate volunteers that make it on the day. Is that similar? I mean, how's the volunteer base at the theatre? Is that something that you're hoping to, you know, to strengthen, to get a lot of these little jobs done? I mean, I'm not sure. How has it worked in the past? Is it quite sort of a bit ad hoc? And
I've tried not too hard to focus on the past. To disrespect those who have put hours in, and there's clearly a stack of people who have done a lot and have sort of walked away. They're going, I hate them, I'm never going back again, to, you know, I'm still there, but and those who are ambivalent. It's to say that, sure, we're going to need volunteers. I've got a couple of people already who have taken on little tiny projects for me, which is awesome. It's not easy for me to delegate because I'm used to having to do stuff myself. Being a consultant, you're expected to do everything. So it's been quite refreshing to be able to delegate some stuff out, which I'm slowly starting to go do. I do need help, and I certainly will need help from people that are interested. And what I want to do is acknowledge them, make sure that I know who they are, and make sure that when I'm gone or if I drop dead tomorrow, everybody knows who they are. So I've set up spreadsheets with their names on it. So I'm gathering a list of people who do volunteer front of house, people who don't volunteer working bees and stuff, because we never had it. My concern has been is disrespecting those in the past, but that's certainly not going to happen going forward. Not that they've been disrespected. I'm just saying, you know, I don't want to disrespect them.
That sounds good. I mean, so we're looking forward to, because it does sort of need inside a bit of a paint job and stuff, doesn't it? I mean,
a paint job.
Well, it means a bit more than that. I remember wandering up around the back one day, one up the top one night, and thinking, gee, that looks like a fire hazard waiting to happen. There's like a bunch of plugs hanging out, and think to yourself, okay,
my biggest concern
volunteer
is,
electrician.
Exactly. No, not that. There's nothing wrong from that perspective. I am a little bit of a health and safety Nazi, and within the next 2 weeks, I am putting a meeting together with clients and hirers. So I sent them an email a couple of weeks ago telling them I'm doing this, which is just to go through our vision and also talk through the new booking form and the changes with that. But definitely about health and safety. It's an interesting thing. We're called Artworks Community Theatre. And one of the changes we're making, which you'll see on the website, is we're changing our name to Artworks Theatre, potentially. And I know you're going, that sounds a bit weird and it's only a subtle change, but what do you mean? What I mean by that is that if we carry on the way we always have carried on with volunteers and theatre managers coming and going and frustrated boards and a lot of people that put a lot of work in, and there's a lot of paperwork that's been done, a lot of strategies, we're going to continue to have this conversation in a couple of years' time.
Right.
We need to change to a different model, and the different model has very much that commercial lean to it and experience required. So more of a social enterprise model. So we're going to have people paying and they're going to have the expertise, and I'm going to ensure that they know how to get grants for their shows and put on bigger shows to attract bigger audiences to make the money. And the money that we all make, we start paying to educate others to come up and learn how to do the right lights and the sound and, you know, direct. And I went to the Playwrights Festival last night, and there were some actors there on stage, and I went, whoa, you know, there's some really awesome talent here. And I've never seen them before. You know, why don't I have that list? Why don't I know who those people are? So there's a lot of really cool stuff that we can do, you know. That's not between now and December, I've got to say. Not between now and December, but I'm going to start that too, starting to collate a list of really cool people that will want more workshops want to learn how to put on shows.
Someone did tell me that you were interested in some relationship with the high school as well, as far as that kind of technical side or even the dramatic, you know. Well, anything you can tell us about how that might?
Of course, I've always got plenty to say.
That's good. We've got plenty of time.
I put an advertisement out on the community boards, asking for people who wanted to volunteer to learn lighting and tech. Mira, our technical manager, Savan. And I also went direct to the high school, to the drama teacher there, and said, look, hey, have you got any students that would like to learn? And they'll learn all aspects, including the health and safety side of it, which is important. And she jumped on it and said, oh, my God, yes, because it'll be great for the students to get credits. And when Savan goes away, you know, they can step in a paid role. We're offering opportunity for people to learn and you know, have a bit of money out the side and get to enjoy it as well. Yeah.
So that's kind of an aspect of the social enterprise, isn't it, really, that, you know, moving slightly away from just taking money from councils and things like that to generating a bit. So, I mean, it's always sort of generated a bit, hasn't it? Not really.
Well, they've stayed in the black, which is brilliant, and I'm grateful for that, because we've come into a position of black. It could have been really dire if we weren't.
Right.
But certainly it's been limping along by the looks of things, and a lot of people have been doing a lot of stuff for free, and the smell of an oily rag. I mean, even stupid stuff, and you talk about the old theatre managers, but even things like, you know, there's a broken cupboard door in the bar where everybody can see it, and it's because the hinge is broken. It's because no one's gone in there, because it's hard to call out someone and say, oh, can you fix this for free, or can you fix it for $100? You know what I mean? It's stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Lucky for me, I've got a husband who
fixes things.
Does stuff.
Yeah.
I just have to make more meals, that's all. Less time in the theatre, more time making him meals, and then I'll be fine.
Yeah. So, I suppose we could, even from the comedy, we'll talk a little bit about the comedy, because the comedy seems to be something that has been quite a prevalent feature of the theatre over the last probably year or 2 years, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And particularly with the level, with some of the acts from town that you're getting in, as well as the development of our own. There's the Tuesday night once a month open mic. There's the what's the name of the other group you've got?
We're the Waiheke Comedy Show.
The Waiheke Comedy Show. Does that reflect how you would sort of, is that a little bit of a model for how you would like all the other sort of arts to participate in the theatre in a way? You know what I'm saying?
No, but it's, well, okay.
I mean, does it reflect how, if you could have the same sort of levels of doing, of music and theatre going in there, that would raise all of those sort of, you know, because at the moment there hasn't been a concert there for quite a while.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean. I think...
is there something that you've done with that comedy thing that could map onto other...
Slight conflict of interest, but isn't. So there's no secret that I started on stage last year for the first time ever in my life. I did a play, Steel Magnolias, with Lucinda Peterkin, who's an amazing director. Hated every moment on stage because I thought I looked like a dick. It wasn't until I saw... despite everyone saying I look good, I thought I looked like a dick. But when I saw the videos, I went, oh, actually, I'm quite good, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then I started comedy and thought, well, I am a dick, I might as well behave like one on stage.
And get laughs.
Yeah, that's right. So Keith Patterson put together a workshop and he already had a group that had started doing a little bit of improv. But I came on board as promo girl. Not the type with a crop top and tight little leather trousers, because clearly I eat far too many meat pies. But I got him and really massively went wild social media-wise. And I tweet to all the comedians, New Zealand wide and all sorts of stuff. And really done a hard out job on promo, and that's what it's about. And on our website, if anyone's interested in putting on a play or music or anything there, read my document on how to market your event and get a full house.
I did see
so
that,
we do get a full house every time, and I've worked very hard to do that. In as much as I've had to work the crowds and I've had to work offshore people. So Keith Patterson was down at the New Zealand Improvisers Festival down in Wellington last week for a whole week. And he said, we're being talked about quite a lot down there. We're becoming quite renowned on the market. And headliners that are coming over here and going, wow, that troupe are really well organised. So we make sure we send our headline act a welcome pack, telling them what the green room's going to look like, the type of audiences they're going to have in Waiheke and how it all operates.
Did you have this little disclaimer that the green room may flood at any moment, right?
No, we don't put
in
that.
You don't put that bit on there?
We don't put in that. And the fact that, you know, it's a bit cold, there's cobwebs that are really scary. But no, but what we've done is we've done a really sound job of promoting. Keith has worked really hard in including audiences, and he's put good shows together. And that, with our reputation with Headline Act and looking after them, we're getting full houses every single time. So our next show, and I'm just going to plug it now, is Saturday, November the 7th. We've got Corey, and I can't say his name, Corey Gonzalez. He's really cool, but he's quite a dry sense of humour, Mexican bloke on What We Do in the Shadows and 7 Days and stuff. He's going to be really cool. And we've all been paying, because we've been able to make money, so I guess this is where it makes a difference, Brent, is we've been able to make money from our shows. We're able now to bring in people to workshop us.
Yep.
And so we've had people like Oliver Driver and, you know, big names on the improv scene who are coming over and training us. So we're just getting better and better and better. And in the next couple of years, we're going to be well, I don't know. We're going to be mighty. At the moment, we're good, but we will be great in the next year or two, I reckon. But anyway, that's enough about comedy. But the reason for its success and the audience and that growing audience is out of control is simply because we've marketed the crap out of it. We've delivered good shows.
Yeah.
The audiences have felt inclusive, and we're getting a reputation outside of Waiheke as well.
So we need someone to step up, eh, and sort of do the similar thing for the musical events and maybe the theatre as well.
Well, I want to help them with that. Yeah. I mean, my area of expertise is around marketing. I've done that document, that's the first thing, but I am going to start workshops. I'm going to be utilising our trustees and some of our members to do workshops on how to budget for events, how to market events, how to, you know, apply for grants, because there's a lot of grants out there for them, you know, to help them put on good shows. I mean, part of the music issue here in Artworks is that we haven't got a decent PA, so they have to bring in some of their equipment, and sometimes it can cost them up to $500 just to get their equipment in to work in ours out, because we're not geared up for it, but... Mm. I'll certainly be looking at doing that. But one of the biggest things I'm going to do before the end of the year, sorry, so that's another job before December, is I'm going to be requesting people put their pitches in for the entire program for the 2016.
Right.
We really need some organisation in there, and I really need to get some good performances. And if I'm looking for sponsors, which I will be, and we've got plenty here of potential on the island, you know, I need to go to them with the program and how we do things, and, and the fact that we are straight and we're this is how we do things, we're fair. We'll help the community, but at the end of the day, we're going to be running it as a really professional organisation.
Nice. Yeah, which I think is possibly something that had been lacking. It always seemed a little bit, just sort of volunteerish, you know, and that sometimes things get... I mean, we have the same thing happen at the radio, and every now and then we kind of got to go, wait a minute, let's get all on the same page and get stuck in. So, yeah, that sounds interesting. I mean, I did read the document that you created about marketing on the Artworks Theatre website. I just thought it was really good, actually, and applied for anyone, you know, putting on a music event, anything. There were some good tips in there. And I thought it was actually I thought it was a very interesting approach or like a strategy, you know, for the theatre website to have that, you know,
educational stuff.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. Great. So we got headline act is Corey Gonzalez Mercure. That's the next sort of big thing coming up, right? I just looked it up.
I was just going to say he's 7th cheating. Minute. He was reading that.
As seen on the Old Mount Comedy Gala.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's on 7 days all the time.
He's very cool. He's incredibly dry. I'm really looking forward to seeing him.
He was in What We Do in the Shit. Oh, he was. He was the. Was he the young guy on what? He became a vampire. I remember. I love that movie, actually, What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, I love him. I think he's going to be awesome. I mean, Ben Hurley was brilliant last time. Yeah. I cried. Yeah. I don't cry, but I cried pretty much the whole way through it. And my hands hurt because I kept slapping them together.
Nice. That's good. All right. Well, we're looking forward to big things at the theatre, Lisa. And it sounds like you got it going on. You got it under control. Which is good.
Not without the help of others,
though. With lots of people. Yeah, that's for sure. And it's been, and when the radio has had an interesting relationship with theatre, and there's lots of synergies there. We've recorded shows there, and we've done our own events there, and it's a good little relationship, I think, that the two of us have. And Artworks has sort of changed now. Mm. You know, it's a different, it's a totally different beast than what it was when you had all the little rows of boxes along there. So I think it's probably time for...
Well, Artworks Theatre has been there a long time, as you well know. She wasn't a theatre.
No.
But she does need help, and she's worthwhile. Yeah. I think it goes beyond providing a theatre. It's something that's worth preserving and growing, and there's no way she should be pulled down and restarted again.
Yeah, yeah.
She is what she is, and I think we need to... make the best of what she is, and that's it. And that's all I care about, really.
Well, good. All right, Lisa, thank you for coming in and talking to us. And, if you want to find out more information about the theatre, the website is very nice, artworkstheatre.org.nz. And I'm sure we'll catch up with Lisa again in the coming years.
Or maybe the beginning of next year to make sure I did my to-do list that I told you I was doing today.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know how those things go.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Yeah, so now I've got... I was going to call you a local, but
Oh, come on.
I think you got a few years left.
Oh, come on, Brent. I've been on the radio before. I'm a local. Come on.
He's my neighbour. Bloody awful, really. The neighbourhood started going to... No, well, listen, yeah, this is Jamie Stone, and one of the things that Mr. Stone does is he drives around in this... It's not even really a bus, though. It's a little bit of a... Is it a bus? It's not a bus. It's a van, isn't it?
No, that's the main question. Come on. Like, where's the bus?
But it is the Jam Bus, and the Jam Bus goes around schools in the Auckland region, doesn't it, and records kids, and you come into the island.
Yeah, we are. That's basically what we do. We bring a mobile recording studio out to primary schools and record what's going on in the schools, and that's the simple explanation of what we do. But it's an amazing thing. And it's a fantastic experience for children, and a great way of celebrating what they do and putting it back out into the community. Because quite often, even parents are unaware of the musical life that their children are living.
So. Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that, actually, because I work at a school, and every now and then they sort of, you know, be some event where kids will get up and play, and it's often quite surprising how good young people really are. And I suppose that's part of what your guys' mission is to grab a bit of that goodness before it either gets lost or destroyed.
Yeah,
or.
Yeah, and it's a bit like a musical school photo in one way.
Yeah.
So it's taonga,
yeah,
to hold on to. Yeah. It's memories, and it's also a sparking off of things. A lot of the times we've had amazing stories of kids going on and doing incredible things, which has just been triggered off because we came and recorded them. The end product of this recording is basically every child, whether we record 10 kids or whether we record 300 kids at the school, every child ends up with a CD to take home, which is it's a free service. We're run by a charity called Play It Strange, and don't charge the schools anything, so it's quite an incredible thing to be involved in, it's a cool so we're funded for primary and intermediate schools. We are doing 2 days at the college this time. I think the college is paying for 1 day, which is great, because the college age kids don't come in under funding. I think it's only the second time we're going to be recording secondary students, actually.
Okay,
so that's cool. It's quite exciting. It's quite different for us, but really cool. So we're doing 2 days at Waiheke College. Waiheke High School. I'm not a local, am I? 1 day at Te Huri and one day at Waiheke Primary.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're bringing this event, you bring the van over.
Yep. We're bringing the van over with all our gear.
And then how does a sort of a day kind of go? So you set up in the music room or something like that, and then do you have to sort of, are they quite prepared, or do you have to sort of massage and coax and cajole people, or, you know,
every day is completely different.
Yeah.
Some schools almost... the most unprepared thing you've ever come across, of course, musically. But we always work with what we've got and coming up with some sort of product. Sometimes my role is the producer.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm actually like being a record producer and working with it, especially when it's bands, actually getting in there and working with the music and... even to the point of arranging things coaxing performances out of kids and you know, that whole psychological management of people dealing with teachers and performers, and that's really cool. Sometimes I'm just there to facilitate the thing happening, but you know, when you've got amazing music teachers who, you know, are leading the way.
Yeah.
So every day is completely different. We record all sorts of music. We record rock bands, a lot of kapa haka, choirs, traditional Samoan drumming, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
prayer recitals.
Really? What's some of the most interesting things that you've actually recorded and stuff?
The stuff that blows you away is really when kids are writing their own songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's quite surprising. We've got this culture in New Zealand now where kids are writing really young. We just had a songwriting competition with Platt Strange called the Wero Songwriting Competition, which was just an Auckland-based one, and we had a primary section in that. And the song that won is by a 9-year-old or an 8-year-old or something, and it is so cute. But it's a really
a
lovely song. Yeah, he might even be 8, you know.
Yeah.
He was tiny. And but it was such a well-crafted song as well. And that teacher had songwriting club.
Right.
So they were all writing songs.
Songwriting club.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So, but we're coming across this now. Intermediate school especially is a lot of songwriters coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they have the intermediate Rockquest, basically.
Yep.
The song, was it called Bandquest, I think, the intermediate one. So
Smoke-free Rockquest, is it?
Yeah, there's an intermediate version of it, I think. So there's a precedent there. There's obviously enough to be running competitions. We're coming across these songwriters in schools.
Yeah.
And that really is what blows you away the most, I think, yeah.
And so you're going to be, next week you've got 2 days at Te Huri.
Hmm. Or 2 days at the high school.
Yeah, 2 days at the high school.
Yep.
And then a day at Te Huri.
Yep.
So you're quite busy next week. And then over to Waiheke Primary as well.
Yep. First jam bus at the primary. We've been to Te Huri before. And we've been to the high school just recording the intermediate kids last time.
Hmm.
So some of those kids have had jam buses. But last year, the Te Huri one, that was fantastic. That was a great day. We recorded a lot of kids that day.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. You did. Hmm. So everyone gets a CD, and so are they quiet when you get in there? Are they quiet? How much do they know about sort of the recording part of it? Is that sort of something that they...
Generally, nothing.
No.
Well, they think they don't.
Yeah.
But then you go, who's recorded before?
Yeah.
No one puts their hands up. And then you go, so who's played around with a program called GarageBand?
Yeah.
And half of them put their hands up.
Yeah, right.
So we're, you know, technology is there that kids can actually get hold of and do themselves, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's part of what we're trying to trigger off as well, this culture of young musicians learning to record.
Yeah.
And, you know, because that's how you make music
in
the modern world.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not all about performing with your recorder.
Yeah, yeah.
It's using a computer and writing your own songs.
Have you seen people who have gone, you know, have taken their recordings from Jam Bus and stuff and, you know, put them online and, you know,
Some schools have done that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you had any really huge success stories that you can think of? I mean, you know, as far as people going, just keeping that you've seen one point and then you kind of see them again popping up around places?
Yeah, we've had some incredible stories, actually. One in particular school down in South Auckland, I can't remember what it is actually. We've recorded about 300 schools.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And these are the stories that are our successes. It's not so much about people going on and making music careers, but we had one guy who'd been playing guitar for about 3 months, and him and his mate wrote the song about a girl at school camp.
Yeah.
And he was very quiet playing the guitar, and the singer was quite cheeky. They recorded this song, and he went to the teacher afterwards, and he went, "Wow, I really like that, miss. I really want to carry on learning guitar now, and maybe I don't need to go into the army anymore." This is
right.
A 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And we've been to that school about 4 times now.
Yeah.
And that teacher has followed up on those kids.
Yeah.
And that guy is now playing guitar all the time. He's the star. He's only in third form now, but he's the star at his new high school.
Yeah.
He's in the music department all the time. He helps the teacher out.
Yeah, yeah.
He's living music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was because we just played him back what he'd just done, and it blew himself away. You know?
Yeah.
And the singer of that song has now gone on, and he's been on X Factor and stuff.
Right.
So I don't know his name, but it all just sparks something. And,
I thought it's an excellent, it's a great idea, actually. It's, I think the first time I heard about it was probably from talking to you, and I thought, that is such a great idea. Because, yeah, it's, hearing yourself back, hey, that's kind of always quite a harrowing, but, you know, could be a, you could see how that's a spark for some people to go, oh, actually. You know, it sounds different to you than it does when you hear it back.
And the older you get, the more freaked out about that you are.
Yeah.
And when you're young, it's exciting.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The younger ones, the most, if you record a group of really young kids, you play them back.
Yeah.
The first thing they do is sing along. That's quite strange. They really get into it and just want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite a strange thing. And, you know, as they get older, they get more critical.
Critical,
and,
yeah.
So yeah, it's good to break that ice when they
What's the most people that you've sort of recorded at once? Like you say, you've done a choir, and have you done
dangle
mics in front of whole schools and stuff?
2 days in an Ellerslie school where we systematically recorded the entire school.
Wow.
Overdubbing, they had about 10 songs, but she was quite crazy, this music teacher. incredibly ambitious.
I
don't know how she achieved this, but she managed to arrange a part playing and singing and clapping and playing triangle and all the instruments, tubular bells and stuff, for every single child in the school.
Wow.
And that was
good.
Yeah, it was absolutely mad.
Yeah.
And the result, of course, was quite shambolic, but she's never done it again. And
she's aspiring high on that one, I suppose.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That sounds fun, though. I mean, it sounds like a really fun job, actually. I'm sure there's probably elements to it that maybe aren't, but great experience.
Lifting heavy equipment bags is the stink part, apart from that, it's all good. Yeah.
Cool. Well, all right. So I'm looking for, hopefully, and I was thinking to myself, I should get in touch with some of the music teachers and see what comes out of this, because we're trying to collect more local music in our playlist at the station, so that might be a good thing to find some stuff.
I'll send a Jambus CD to the radio station.
Yeah, there you go. That's
over
good.
The fence at you.
Cool. over the fence. All right, Jamie, hey, thanks a lot for coming in, and thanks for the good work and coming to the island, to record.
I'm a local, mate.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onioroa.